It's the Bristol Bay Fisheries Report for Wednesday, July 14th. I'm your host, Izzy Ross. We're also in the midpoint of the KDLG pledge drive. Call us 907-842-5281 or go to kdlg.org to donate. There's a yellow donate button in the upper right-hand corner. We love you all. Please donate so that we can continue doing this work. On to the show now. Bristol Bay's run is 3 million fish over its preseason forecast. More than 54 million fish have returned this summer. The Naknek-Quejax's fleet had the biggest catch of the day yesterday, as more than 700,000 fish were hauled in, and the Quejax saw a sizable escapement. Ugashik's harvest was over 600,000 for the third day in a row. Coming up tonight, the average size of Bristol Bay's sockeye is down from last year by more than half a pound. That's part of a larger trend of shrinking salmon.
So right now we're sort of seeing the effect of a double whammy on fish size. And the last 4 or 5 years, we've seen a lot of really small fish in the catches and in the escapements.
A new app allows fishermen to track the changes they've seen in the climate.
Climate change has been the top of the list for most fishermen that she's been communicating with. Just things that are going on in the waters, with fish, with other wildlife. Some of them have mentioned concerned about the future of their livelihood and being able to remain fishermen in healthy waters.
How people out on the water can participate. Bears have had a hard time fishing in the Brooks River due to high water levels. And a rabid otter was seen in Dillingham's Harbor.
It was completely covered in porcupine quills, which is not normal. It's now jumped from fox to at least otters.
Those conversations and more on the Bristol Bay Fisheries Report.
The Bristol Bay Fisheries Report is brought to you by the Bristol Bay Regional Seafood Development Association. Ensuring long-term growth is the world's greatest salmon fishery through investment in Bristol Bay science, infrastructure, marketing, and quality. The Bristol Bay RSDA, we're on board with you.
Oh, let the grasses grow and the waters flow in a free and easy way. But give me enough of the rare old stuff. That's made near Galway.
Thanks for staying with us tonight. We're going to take a look at the numbers. The total run baywide has officially eclipsed the preseason forecast by 3 million fish. The total reached 54.3 million fish yesterday. Harvest across the bay hit 2.4 million fish yesterday. The Naknek-Quejax led the way as a top contributor, accounting for 30% of the daily catch. Total harvest baywide is 33.5 million fish. Escapement in the bay was 633,000 fish to bring the season total to 20.2 million. Naknek-Quejax's run was nearly half of yesterday's total escapement and takes the lead as the top district for escapement across the bay. Daily harvest in the Nooshigak was down just a wee bit as fishermen hauled in 583,000 fish. The average drift delivery was 962 sockeye. Total harvest for the district so far is 16.4 million and remains the leader in the bay. For the catch by gear, about 82% of the total harvest went to Nooshigak drift nets and 12% to set nets. Igushik set nets pulled in 3%, with the other 4% labeled as unspecified. Escapement in the Noosh was similar to Monday's daily, as 134,000 fish escaped. The district's total escapement so far is 8.9 million fish, now the second largest escapement in the bay. The total run in the Nooshigak district is now 25.4 million. Let's look at how it all went down by river. Sockeye escapement in the Nooshigak River came in under 100,000 fish for the third day in a row at 31,000. The total sockeye escapement for the Nooshigak is 4.4 million fish. Our consistent chums came in at 3,400 fish yesterday to push the chum sum to 118,000 fish. Chinook were way down from Monday's daily count, coming in yesterday at 63 fish. The Nooshigak's total Chinook escapement is at 50,600. Wood River's escapement was under 100,000 fish for the second day in a row, at 70,000. That puts the total escapement at 3.8 million fish. As of this morning, 27,000 fish had passed by the tower. Escapement in the Yagushik continued a three-day decline at 32,000 fish. That puts the cumulative run at 683,000. As of this morning, 4,100 fish had swam on through. Togiak's fleet caught 24,000 fish yesterday for a total harvest of 176,100. The average drift delivery contained 180 sockeye. Meanwhile, daily escapement in Togia continued to go up as 6,900 fish pushed the total escapement there to 50,000. As of 6 a.m. today, 1,500 fish had passed the tower. Togiak's total run is now over 250,000 fish. Nakna Kwijak, take a bow. Daily harvest in the district was the largest in the bay, as fishers hauled in 745,000 sockeye. Drifters delivered an average of 978 sockeye per haul. The total harvest is at 6.8 million fish. Nakna Kwijak drift nets hauled in 73% of the cumulative catch, with 14% going to Nakna set netters and 12% to Kwijak set nets. Daily escapement there was also the largest in the bay, as 301,000 fish swam to their spawning grounds. Total escapement is 9.1 million, which edges out the Nushigak to lead the bay. Here's that breakdown by river. Naknek's daily escapement hit 80,000 fish yesterday, pushing the total to 2.4 million fish. In the Kwijak River, 163,000 fish swam past the counting tower yesterday. Fun fish fact, that surpassed the Nushigak District's daily escapement by about 30,000 fish. Cumulative escapement for the Kwijak is at 4.1 million. Alagnak River escapement came in at 57,000 fish yesterday for a total of 2.5 million spawners up the Alagnak. Over to Igigik, daily harvest there was up a bit at 409,000 fish, with an average of 939 sockeye per drift delivery. Total harvest so far is at 6.7 million fish, the third largest in the bay, just behind Naknek Kwijak. So what kind of gear pulled all that fish? Well, 84% of the total catch went to drift nets, and 16% was pulled in by set nets. Daily escapement up the Igigik River was 33,000 fish, down a bit from Monday. That brings the season total escapement to 1.6 million. Igigik's total run is at 8.4 million fish. Daily catch in the Ugashik continues to shine as fishers hauled 650,000 fish yesterday. The average drift delivery in Ugashik was a gargantuan 2,105 sockeye. The season's total harvest is over 3.1 million. Of that total catch, drift nets brought in 87% of the salmon smackers, while 12% went to set nets. And if you fall into either of those categories out there, we'd love to talk to you about these amazing harvest numbers. Ugashik fishermen, give us a call, 907-842-2200. We love to hear from you. As for the run, daily escapement hit 158,000 yesterday, which is nearly 40% of the season's total escapement of 420,000 fish. Ugashik's total run is at 3.9 million. Over to the Chignik River now. About 12,000 sockeye passed through the Chignik Weir yesterday. Total escapement is 277,000 fish. Only 32 Chinook were counted to push that total to 317. There was no fish passage this morning as of 9 a.m. Want to take a look at harvest by species in Area M? Let's do it. Sockeye harvest was 84,000 fish to put the season total to 5.1 million. Chum harvest came in at 133 fish. Chum sum is up to 909,000. Only 13 Chinook were harvested yesterday to put that total to around 5,000 fish. 8 coho were harvested out in Area M. The season total is 9,400. As for pinks, 15 fish were harvested to put that season total to 3.4 million so far. Now for an update from the Port Muller test fishery. Fishing continues to wind down for the crew there as all recorded indices came in below 100. Station 6 caught 5 fish in the 4.5-inch mesh and 4 in the 5 and an eighth. The catch index is 25. Station 8 caught 22 in the 4.5-inch mesh and 13 fish in the 5 and an eighth. That catch index is 81. Station 9 caught 8 in the 4.5-inch mesh and 0 in the 5 and an eighth. The catch index is 21. Station 10 caught 1 fish in the 4.5-inch mesh and 5 in the 5 and an eighth. That catch index is 16. Station 12 caught 3 in the 4.5-inch mesh and 4 in the 5 and an eighth. The catch index is 19. Station 14 caught 0 fish in the 4.5-inch mesh and 3 in the 5 and an eighth. The catch index there is 8. Now for something you may or may not really like, boat registration, and what it will look like in 48 hours. There are currently 220 vessels in Igigik and 72 D-boats. That increases to 222 boats in 48 hours. The number of D-boats, 72, remains the same. In the Naknek Kwijak, there are 551 vessels in the water, 144 of which are D-boats. That will jump to 557 vessels and 145 D-boats on Friday. Vessels continue to shift out of Nishigak waters. There are currently 277 vessels, 80 of which are D-boats in the Nishigak. That decreases to 269 vessels and 75 D-boats on Friday. In Ugaashik, there are 218 vessels and 90 D-boats. That takes the largest jump of any district to 257 vessels. 106 of those will be D-boats. It's that juicy, tantalizing harvest, I tell ya. And Togiak will continue to support 35 boats over the next couple of days. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be back with you on the Bristol Bay Fisheries Report in just a minute.
Support for KDLG comes from Trident Seafoods, harvesting and processing wild Alaska seafood for over 40 years. More on Trident Seafoods at tridentseafoods.com.
Here's a story about three little fishies who didn't want to listen to their mama.
Thanks for hanging in there, out there, wherever you may be, with us on the Fish Report tonight. The sockeye returning to Bristol Bay this year are smaller. The average fish this summer weighs just 4.5 pounds, down more than half a pound from 2020. That has been a trend over the past four decades, as increasingly smaller fish have returned to the bay amid larger salmon runs and warming oceans. That's according to Dan Schindler, a fisheries professor at the University of Washington, who has researched Bristol Bay salmon for decades.
The size of fish has declined for their age. So the size of two ocean fish has been declining slowly through time, and the size of three ocean fish has been slowly declining through time.
A salmon's age is measured by how many years it spends in the ocean. A two ocean fish, for example, has spent 2 years in the ocean before returning to its spawning grounds. Until recently, scientists and the fishing community didn't pay too much attention to the shrinking salmon trend. That's because in the 1970s, more salmon started to spend an extra year in the ocean, and older fish usually come in bigger than their younger counterparts.
This transition to more three ocean fish obscured the fact that fish were getting smaller for their size.
But in the last 10 years, more fish have returned after only 2 years in the ocean, and those fish are coming in relatively small for their age.
So right now we're sort of seeing the effect of a double whammy on fish size. And the last 4 or 5 years, you know, we've seen a lot of really small fish in the catches and in the escapements, and that's because there's a lot of two ocean fish, and those two ocean fish are relatively small given the history of Bristol Bay.
But why are those two ocean fish coming in smaller? Schindler says there are likely two major factors. First, he says the size of the run can affect the size of the fish. Big runs tend to have smaller fish because there's more competition for food. There are also more salmon in the North Pacific Ocean now than there have been in over a century due to an increase in hatchery pink and chum salmon.
This declining size at a given age is really, you know, a function of more hungry mouths from lots of Bristol Bay fish, but also more hungry mouths from all those hatchery fish that we're dumping out into the ocean.
Warming oceans also may play a role, but Schindler says the connection is less direct. Warmer oceans have been correlated with increased survival for Bristol Bay salmon, which means more competition for food. Juvenile salmon also grow substantially faster in warmer freshwater. Juveniles eat plankton, and because the ice breaks up earlier in the spring, plankton have more time to grow, and there's more food for juveniles. Over to the Katmai National Park and Preserve now, where bears have been having a hard time fishing. The park issued a temporary closure for a portion of Brooks River to allow brown bears more access to fishing grounds. In an announcement, Park Superintendent Mark Sturm says the water levels in the Brooks River have been unusually high this year, and the bears have a harder time fishing in deeper waters. This closure will give bears unhindered access to shallower waters. The area is typically open to anglers, photographers, and tourists. Bears are most successful with their fishing without the interference or presence of humans. Leaving these waters open to humans could dissuade bears from fishing there. The closure went into effect Tuesday afternoon and ends at 3 p.m. on Friday, though park officials may extend it. Park staff will also use the time as an opportunity to further study the bears' eating habits and how the closure affects them. Sport fishing remains open throughout other areas of the Brooks River, including above the falls. In other critter news, over on the west side, a sea otter in Dillingham tested positive for rabies this week. Construction workers were at the Dillingham Harbor Monday morning when they called Fish and Game to report an otter acting aggressively. Wildlife biologist Brian Riley responded to the call.
And when I went down there to see it, it was completely covered in porcupine quills, which is not normal. It's now jumped from fox to at least otters, and given the amount of porcupine quills that this animal had on it, maybe even porcupine.
It's uncommon for otters and porcupines to interact. Both species tend to stick closer to the water and land, respectively. Fish and Game also found a baby otter near a pond by the Nooshigak power plant. They suspect it may belong to the rabid otter, which was a female. Riley returned the baby to the water.
I don't know what the prevalence, like how, you know, rabies potentially transmits to the young. If they were still feeding on the mother's milk, maybe it transmitted to them. More than likely, I think they're not.
Three cases of rabies have been reported in Dillingham foxes this spring. If an otter acts aggressively or is far away from the water, it could have rabies. If you are bitten by any animal, get medical help immediately. This summer, commercial fishermen have an opportunity to become scientists. Skipper scientists, that is. A new app allows fishermen to record their observations as they relate to climate change. Are fish different sizes? Are the water temperatures crazy warm? Do birds seem to be missing along the shore? I spoke with KDLG's Stephanie Maltrich to learn more. Hey, Stephanie, how are you doing?
Hey, Izzy, I'm good.
So there is this app that allows fishermen to track climate changes that they observe. It's called the Skipper Science app. Tell me a little bit about who started it and why.
Yeah, so it's just coming out. This is its first season, kind of like a pilot season. The Skipper Science Program is a project supported by Salmon State, an advocacy organization for commercial fishermen. Bristol Bay Seafood Development Association and Commercial Fishermen for Bristol Bay support the Skipper Science Program and are financial supporters of KDLG. Lauren Devine and Lindsay Bloom were kind of the ones that got it, you know, up and going, but there are a lot of people involved. Lauren is the Director of Ecosystems and Conservation for the Aleut community of St. Paul, and she's been working with them for 10 years. They've been doing their own observations and created an app for the Indigenous Sentinels Network. And so her and Lindsay kind of collaborated to see how they could make something for fishermen to track observations while out on the water during the fishing season.
All right, so it sounds like there's a lot of collaborators who have worked together to make this app happen. Why now? Why did they start the app this year? Why are they reaching out to fishermen to track these changes?
So Lindsay Bloom works for Salmon State, and she's been working with fishermen for several years. You know, over the past 3 years, she's been kind of asking them, like, what's going on out there? What are some things you want to talk about? And climate change has been the top of the list for most fishermen that she's been communicating with. Just things that are going on in the waters, with fish, with other wildlife. Some of them have mentioned concerned about the future of their livelihood and being able to remain fishermen in healthy waters. So she thought it would be really cool to have this opportunity for fishermen to log these observations that they have been seeing and kind of bridge that gap between fishermen and scientists. And so scientists will now have access to this really robust database of climate observations from, you know, fishermen all over Alaska. And so then it can kind of help them be informed, and then fishermen are kind of taking a seat at the table in terms of policy conversations, stuff like that.
So how does this app work? How can fishermen use it to track changes that they observe in the climate?
They do need internet or data to actually download that app. So it's good to do it before you go out. And then once you're out there, it's pretty self-explanatory. You just enter in and log, what was the temperature of the water today? What did I see in fish that might seem different than normal, whether it's a size or a color or, you know, are there usually birds in this area? Now there's not. And so you can log all these things and they'll save until you get back into service, and then they upload. And when they're uploaded, they just go into the database. So with or without service, once you're out there, it's really easy to use.
So how can fishermen find the app and participate?
So fishermen, it's really easy. You could go to skipperscience.org to learn about the program and who's involved and like why they're doing this. But really, you can just go to the app store, download the app, upload it, and then log your information. But, you know, a lot of people might be out on the water already this year, out of service, can't really do that. So they really want to encourage you to write those down on paper for now. You know, just write down like the date, where you're at, GPS coordinates, and what you're seeing. And when you get back to land, you could go get the app and then upload it. So it's pretty easy. And there, since it's a pilot program this year, they're doing like some prizes for people that are involved. And right now there are 100 fishermen signed up, but Lindsay did say she would love to see some more in the Bristol Bay fleet involved.
So even if you don't have the app on your phone right now, you can mark down your changes in a logbook on paper, old-fashioned way, and that can be uploaded into the app database once you get back on land.
Absolutely, yep.
Thanks so much for taking a couple minutes to walk through that, Stephanie.
Yeah, thanks for chatting, Izzy.
Programming support for KDLG comes from listeners like you and from Nomar, serving Bristol Bay for 40 years with the gear fishermen need. Online at nomaralaska.com.
I've counted out his money, and it made a pretty penny. I put it in me pocket, and I took it home to Jenny. She sighed and she swore that she never would see.
That just about does it for the show this evening. It is the third day of the pledge drive, the end of the third day of the KDLG pledge drive for 2021. If you are listening, please donate. If you haven't donated already, if you haven't found the time, whatever, go to kdlg.org. If you have access to the internet, you can click the donate button, and you don't even have to interact with humans. If you want to hear our lovely voices on the other end of a telephone line, give us a call, 907-842-5281. We love to hear from you, whether it is about fishing, whether you have photos, whether you have observations that you want to share with us. And we would also love to see those donations coming in from those of you listening right now. It helps keep us on air. I can't tell you how much it actually makes a difference. It is incredible. So please just consider donating, and we're going to take it over to the marine weather forecast now for Bristol Bay. Tonight, a west wind at 15 knots, seas at 3 feet, and patchy fog. Thursday, west wind 15 knots, seas at 3 feet, patchy fog continuing. And Thursday night, a west wind at 20 knots, seas at 3 feet. In the marine weather forecast from Port Hyden to Cape Sarachef, a variable wind at 10 knots tonight, seas at 1 foot, and patchy fog. On Thursday, variable wind 10 knots, seas at 2 feet. And Thursday night, north wind 15 knots, seas at 2 feet. In the tidal forecast at Nushagak at Clark's Point, high tide at 7:08 p.m. at 14 feet. At the Naknek River entrance, high tide at 6:22 p.m. at 15 feet. And at the Igigig River entrance, high tide at 5:11 p.m. at 12 feet. In messages to the fleet, to Jesse Peralog on the Sandy Marie, please call me at my mom's 842-4000 ASAP. That's 842-4000. To Doug Walling, wishing my favorite guy in a uniform, DW, is having the time of his life and staying safe. Missing you, your Chicago Fisher Girl, Jay. To Joe EH on the Kwijak from Mom and Dad. Hi, son. We hope everything is going well up there. It sounds like you're keeping very busy, according to the fishing report. It was great to see the video of the crew and to hear you laugh. We're hanging out in the pool a lot and can't wait for you and Ange and the boys to come for a visit. Love you, Mom and Dad. To the captain of the Linda K, hope you and the crew are doing well. Missing you like crazy. Can't wait to hear from you. But most of all, I can't wait to see you. All my love, Miss Denver. To Ekuk Beach, good fishing from Nicole, Kara, Ryan, Cindy, and Tommy Nebraska. Thank you to Tommy for your donation. And playing us out tonight, Tommy requested Wish You Were Here by Pink Floyd. Good night, good fishing. Donate, everyone. See you back here tomorrow.
Thank you. think you could tell heaven from hell, blue skies from pain? Can you tell a green field from a cold steel rail? A smile from a veil? Do you think you can tell? Did they get you to train your heroes for ghosts, hot ashes for trees, hot air for a cool breeze, cold comfort for change? Did you exchange a walk-on part in the war for a lead? You